This podcast is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. The president will begin by addressing the nation. Please hold your questions until he's finished his remarks. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
No ticky, no washy.
Oops.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 147. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian Charles Martin Smith is always getting screwed, Dunaway.
I don't want to say we made it worse, but we made it worse. Now we have two objects hurtling towards Earth. Now sit down, America, as I explain this like an eighth grade science teacher and not a president.
Yeah, when it blew up into two pieces, that was a sad moment.
No.
Also with us, Randy, I think Ensure got a pretty good product placement deal for this.
Damn it! What? How do you do this? How do you see my notes before?
I don't know. Not
hello,
we had
aloha.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. This week, after watching Deep Impact, I watched all of the edited scenes and was impressed. In the extra subplot you didn't see, we follow James Cromwell's character as he tries to survive disaster with a boatload of Ensure nutritional drinks and doesn't realize that when an asteroid smashes into the ocean, the last place you want to be is on a boat, moron.
Or a boat full of Ensure. Finally with us, Brian, the Petermans are not on the list, Ibbit.
Save the insurer. Well, this comet is about as big as New York City. From the dry cleaners on 42nd Street to the Greek pizza place on Alameda Street. Blah, 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 Blarmageddon.
Perfect. Nicely done. You do a pretty good Morgan Freeman, I'm not going to lie. Absolutely. When was the last time you saw Andy Dufresne?
I can almost see the liver spots.
Yeah.
That man traveled through a mile of shit and came out clean on the other side. Miss Daisy.
Best line ever. Nice work. It is Deep Impact, everyone. Belly up to the bar. Pull up a chair. Sit down. Relax, because it's going to be Deep Impact time. Or as I like to call it, the movie that came out when Armageddon did and nobody saw as much as they saw Armageddon.
The thing is, it came out 2 months before Armageddon. And a lot of people saw this and didn't realize that there was going to be just a way better version of it just very soon.
Yeah, Armageddon is...
I may disagree with that.
All right, I want to get into this right away. Well, let's let Fletcher do his thing, and then I want to talk about this, because I do think we have to get that distinction between the two movies sort of out of the way and also talk about which of the two, this much time later, stands up or holds up. So, Fletcher, take it away.
Deep Impact. A 7-mile-wide space rock is hurtling toward Earth, threatening to obliterate the planet. To save the world, the U.S. president appoints a steely veteran astronaut to lead a joint American-Russian crew into space to destroy the comet before impact.
Way more American than Russian, but sure.
Right.
And his accent was suspect anyway most of the time, but whatever.
The Russian in Armageddon was so much better.
Yes. I agree.
No argument there.
Wait, the Russian in Armageddon is the dude in the chipper, right?
Putin, the dude putting the guy in the chipper.
Yeah, putting Buscemi in the chipper. Don't forget him. He's always good. Anyway, it's going to be hard not to talk about Armageddon. So let's get it out of the way. I think that this is not as good as Armageddon in almost every way. I think it's fine. Mm. I think it's okay. I enjoyed it. But, Ibbett, you were talking before the show that we may have words here about this. Where do you land on Deep Impact as a disaster film on its own, but also as compared to Armageddon?
Yeah, I mean, I think Deep Impact is Armageddon without the without a whole bunch of tropes. Deep Impact is, you know, they take some turns. They have some unpredictable kind of turns, not necessarily with the people and the characters, like, oh, okay, I finally love you, Dad, and But the fact that major characters that you expect, okay, well, this person's gonna live and this person's gonna live. No, a lot of the major characters do end up dying, and right at the end, not even dying doing something heroic or brave, but
something stupid.
It's like, well, okay, you know, where's the best place for me to go? I think I'll go hang out at the beach.
Right where that big tsunami is definitely going to hit.
Right, exactly.
Right at ground zero.
You know, she could drive her little Audi anywhere, but, you know, that's one thing.
You're talking about Duchovny's wife, Tia Leoni, or ex-wife.
Yes, I am.
Or
whatever. Ex-wife, yes.
Or are they just separated? I don't know.
What's and the fact an effort is made halfway through the movie to stop this thing, as opposed to the last 10 minutes of the movie are spent, all right, here is our one last chance to do this. They do have something like that, don't get me wrong, but it does seem like that is less climactic than the first attempt to blow this thing up.
Yeah.
The middle of the movie attempt to blow this thing up in other movies, and Armageddon comes at the end, and then it's like,
Still, you know my complaint. When something happens 45 minutes into a film, you realize, oh, this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. It's like they telegraphed it, so you can't have any suspense.
That's a pretty tropey moment, too, when they're like, oh, the first bomb didn't work. What's it like?
If they just wouldn't limit movies to being 1.5, 1:45, 2 hours long, you know, and you went into a movie not knowing how long it's going to be. You walk into Lincoln, and oh, wow, he's sitting down the fourth year. Oh my gosh, movie's over. Wow, I did not see that ending coming.
Or just muck with the chronography, the chronology of the thing. Tell me a story where you put the bookends at the beginning and don't quite show me the end of the end part, sure, and that sort of thing.
Fight Club is good with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That one's pretty good with it. The example I was thinking of was actually Star Wars. In A New Hope, the green leader or whoever the hell it is, who takes his first shot at the Death Star, and everyone's all excited, and then they go, "Green Leader, report," and he goes, "It didn't go in. It just glanced off the thing." Like, he's all whiny about it, and then it's up to Luke to solve the deal. That's what this reminded me of. It's like, oh, your first nukes just served to split it in half, and now send two giant world-destroying, you know, chunks of rock toward Earth.
We just made it stronger. Actually,
right, that's what I thought. But also, it was a big psych out because the people who died from the first one who didn't get to higher ground, they didn't realize that there was going to be no second one.
Yeah.
And so that was all pointless. But the one thing between this and Armageddon, I do like the fact that they pretty much did everything Armageddon did in about a 30-minute span. I mean, the parts that really lap over is when they're actually out there trying to drill. It only takes them like one time to not really be able to drill. In Armageddon, for 3 hours, it seemed like we were drilling.
Well, you're following just the astronaut crew. You're following Animal Cracker Boy and Bald Dude, right? You're the whole 2 hours is
Animal Cracker Giraffe thing.
David Addison and Argo up there.
Yeah, Argo shoving a cracker in Arwen's belly button. Exactly.
we should have watched both of these.
Right. We kind of should have.
I want to just argue with one thing, though. The reason that we like Armageddon more is because Armageddon, from a script, takes a long view and says, okay, what's badass? What badass stuff do we want to watch?
It's more of the video game of the two. It reminds me of the answer. It's like Tombstone versus the other one that cost.
The answer in a disaster movie is not, we want to watch the strange career of a reporter lady.
Mm-hmm.
I was more interested in Elijah Wood's story, and they really kind of touched on it.
Oh, really? I was like, oh no! I'm going to go back for it. I couldn't wait for that nonsense to be over.
The whole Frodo bit was a little bit weird. And
but the big plus that Armageddon has is the cast. I mean, you know, Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck. Is it Michael Clarke Duncan and Ving
Rhames?
Clarke Duncan in that one.
You always get that guy confused.
I do.
Yeah.
Liv Tyler,
racist. Liv Tyler. Who else?
Bob Thornton. As the crippled wannabe astronaut.
He's red.
Right, this has red in this one. Exactly.
Will Patton is amazing.
Will Patton is great. Yeah. Will Patton's good in everything. I would remind everyone that Will Patton plays a fantastic villain in The Postman, which was shit on every level, but he played this ex-copier salesman, now non-benevolent leader of the evildoers in the world that have survived. Yeah. It's fantastic. He's great.
Will Fichtner is in that movie. That guy has never put in a bad performance.
Agreed.
Okay. Who else? Keith David is the army guy that people Well, he's not exactly an army guy, but he's.
But he should be sitting there chomping on a cigar, telling.
Yeah, he's the guy who wants to
write checks.
Right.
He's the guy who wants to go ahead and blow the nukes before it's time. Jason Isaacs, of all people, is in Armageddon as a scientist.
That guy.
You're missing the point.
Oh, Jason Isaacs. I'm sorry.
Gosh.
I'm thinking of the other guy, the singer. Brian, help me. Who's the?
I'm thinking of Lucius Malfoy from the Harry Potter films.
And he's got like a hot chick in a black and white beach thing.
With you. Something. Oh, you're thinking of Chris Isaacs.
Chris Isaacs, thank you. Thank you.
I couldn't figure out what you're singing.
No, you are correct.
Oh, that's funny.
I think the cast in Armageddon, it's Tombstone versus Wyatt Earp. It's the same problem. It's not that Wyatt Earp is a terrible film, it's that Wyatt Earp decided to take a much more cerebral, slow, clunky road, and Tombstone decided to make it a big freaking amusement park of a movie instead. And I feel like Armageddon is buoyed by that. That's not to say that Armageddon did not necessarily critically review very well. Most called it loud and annoying, and I had friends who felt that way too, but man, I sure enjoyed it. It was fine.
Oh, I remember going to see Armageddon, and we may as well just talk about it because I don't think we'll ever watch it on FilmSec. I remember going to see Armageddon 5 times. Wow. Theaters had finally gotten really, really good. There were finally huge screens in rooms that could seat 250 people. They were curved screens with incredible sound. That film made over $300 million just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was responsible for at least 150 of it.
Yeah. Well, it was good. And this is okay. I wouldn't call it great. It's okay. There are moments that are good. I think Freeman's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Tia Leone is absolutely horrifically bad.
Really? I think she's playing. This is the kind of character that she's really good at playing, which is kind of the nervous, unsure of herself. Mm-hmm. Aggressive.
She's a beautiful woman. All right, I'm not going to argue that. Okay. Surprise everyone! I don't think the blonde girl in the movie is ugly. All right, I think she's really pretty. I've always thought that. I just don't think she's a very good actor. And in fact, ironically, she's a better actress in Michael Bay's Bad Boys 1 than she is in the non-Michael Bay asteroid movie. I just think she's really bad at acting. I think she's beautiful, and that's great, and that gets you going and gets you started and that gets you jobs, but she's not really putting in a performance that makes me believe her at all.
You know what performer I felt really let the movie down in terms of performance? Robert Duvall. Just never once felt like a good actor to me.
Yeah, he phoned it in. It's his usual thing. Actually, I had a note here saying Robert Duvall plays the same guy in every movie.
Yeah,
and I think that's what you're getting at. It's kind of that same
thing. But that guy in Open Range is awesome.
Oh, I love Open Range so much. Let's watch Open Range. Screw this. he wasn't great. I also, the one guy I do like, the guy that got blinded.
Ron Eldard.
I like him. He was great in 8mm. He played the girl's dad in that. He always looks like Tim Roth to me for some reason.
Yeah.
I find him really compelling to watch, and I think he was just fine in this. Morgan Freeman probably didn't have to work very hard at this, but still, whatever. He's charming and awesome.
Choice
everything
role.
He's in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're the president.
You take someone like this in a minute.
I remember back then, I remember people around me going, that's great and all, but there's never going to be a black president. And then I remember when 24 started, and that had a black president. I remember people saying the same exact thing, and that all landed on me kind of in an interesting way.
Interesting that you bring that up. We're recording this on January the 20th, 2013, the day that the only constitutional democracy to ever elect a black leader just elected him for the second time.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. Plus, it's Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So this will make up for any semi-racial things I say on the morning stream for the next 3 weeks. So there you have it.
Semi-racial. What is a... No, wait. I stopped before I finished that question. Never ask Scott Johnson a question like that.
No, don't. anyway, so there's your your basics of it. Directed by Mimi Leder, a lady. I hope so. Written by Bruce Joel Rubin, Michael Tolkien, stars Robert Duvall, Tia Leone, Elijah Wood. Robert Duvall got lead credits on this thing, which is a little weird. Because he wasn't, I don't know. It felt like that whole ship thing was such a small part of the overall story. My biggest complaint, which we'll get to in a minute, will help people understand why I think Tia Leone is really annoying and probably hard to live with, which is why Mulder left. After discovering the comet, one of the astronomers is killed in a car accident. This is what I was referring to earlier when I mentioned Charles Martin Smith, who is an actor I always like in everything he ever does. Go watch The Untouchables. He's the accountant that finally brings down Capone with his tax law stuff. He's in lots of things, and he's great in almost everything. So when they killed him off early, I was a little bit pissed. Anyway, this mirrors the real-life car accident on July 18th, 1997, day after my birthday, in Outback, Australia. An astronomer named Eugene Shoemaker, who helped discover the Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet, was killed in a car accident. I don't know.
Rushing a floppy disk to somebody.
As
I'm
quick
sure.
as they could, yeah. Oh, yeah, man, the computer
pop
tech.
Were down.
You forget what the tech was in 98.
Right out of the gate, this film is mirroring Armageddon, because Armageddon, you know, has the astronomer out in the country who discovers the thing before anybody else, and of course names it Dottie.
Well, what do you think is going to be an astronomer sitting in the city? Can't see anything. Of course, he's right, out in the country.
But you know, names it Dottie. Of course, they start referring to this one as they later named this one, but at first they're referring to something called Ellie. It was just bizarre how much this evoked the other movie.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was also a line that was taken out of the film. It was edited from the president's press conference scene. President Beck, played by Morgan Freeman, stated, quote, "Life will go on. We will prevail." Originally, that was supposed to be, "Life will go on. We will prevail. This is not Armageddon." And then he hits his fist on the ground or on the table. The producers later recognized that this movie was going to be an box office competition with Armageddon and had it removed. I have no way to verify this, but that is what the trivia says. Also, the very first movie to prominently place MSNBC as the main journalistic station in the film. So that was a big deal. And they kept dropping it. Like, I need to get down to the MSNBC offices.
And drink some Ensure.
Yeah, the product placement was a little thick.
Yes, very thick. This all made sense to me, though, because it turns out this director, Mimi Leder, directed and produced a ton of ER episodes. Their core seasons, really. And that is why we see, like, 20 ER people.
Right, exactly. We see Laura Innes, who was...
she was the limping lesbian,
Carrie,
right?
She was the limping lesbian. It was her business card.
Right, she was so convincing in ER that I always forget. I'm like, where's her limp?
Where's her lady friend and where's her limp? Right.
And Ron Eldard was on ER for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of them. Blair Underwood was on for a while. Short, but was a doctor for a little while. Kept expecting to see that blonde or that bald dude from Terminator that got, or not Terminator, from RoboCop that got hit by the car and splattered all over the place. He was on ER.
Right.
Never saw him, so I don't know why I'm bringing it up.
Yes, he was not great in this movie.
No, not so much. Not so much. What else? That's it for some of the trivia stuff. So let's get into the stuff here. Here's why she bugged me. All right, just briefly, and then we can all fight me or whatever you want to do.
Fight.
She's, and I'll play clips later that support this, but her dialogue delivery, nobody's hiring her to be main anchor on some major desk at MSNBC. Yes, I promise you that.
I do totally agree with you on that. She does not have the cadence and stuff to be a, no one would ever put her behind the desk on a major news network for sure.
But if you're casting your movie, do you hire Tia Leone at all? Don't you go to somewhere else? Isn't there a bunch of other options
for the right character? Absolutely, because she's very convincing. She doesn't look like she's acting. I mean, she looks like she's in that character, delivering those lines. It's the same person you see in other movies, like the one where she goes back to look for her family, and it's it's Carol Burnett and. Ben Stiller and what the heck? No, it's Ben Stiller going back to find his family. What the hell is that movie?
Is it recent? Something new?
No,
I want to watch it though.
Years, and yeah. It's excellent.
Is it Reindeer Games? Oh, it's the town. It's the town.
Is it Karate Master?
Yeah, something like Nothing But Trouble, or it's a really lame. It's a forgettable name,
But he goes back to find his family. He was adopted. She's his psychoanalyst or psychotherapist.
Yeah.
And helps her find his birth parents, Alan Alda, and I want to say Carol Burnett, smoking pot in the desert.
Oh wow. My
gosh. I want to see this movie.
It's really good. It's like
1995,
I want to say.
Huh.
I'm trying to look. I'm looking. I'm looking.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds like
look harder.
What's that?
Look harder.
Look harder, he says.
Look harder.
So
Flirting with Disaster, 1996. Huh. No, that's not it. Oh, it is it. Yes. A young man, his wife, an incompetent caseworker travel across country to find his birth parents. Yeah, Patricia Arquette, actually hot in this.
Hmm. Let me give you the
Mary Tyler. Oh, it's Mary Tyler Moore and Alan Alda.
I was thinking it's Wonder, yeah. Alan Alda.
I get Mary Tyler. You always get Mary Tyler Moore mixed up with
Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett, and you always get those two black actors mixed up.
Michael Clark Duncan and Ving Rhames.
Yes.
All four of them actually look alike. I get all four of them confused all the time.
I know. Yeah, Carol Burnett.
One of each have passed away, haven't they?
Because I don't see color.
I know.
Or gender. You don't see gender.
Or anything.
Or size.
Or anything. Is Elijah Wood and his kind of awkward teens going on here in this movie? Right before.
or as I like to call him, the bike dropper.
This would have been... What, 2 years before he would start filming Lord of the Rings or been cast as that? And before
what a strange subplot.
Yeah,
so
it's weird.
He's a teenager who also co-discovers the asteroid.
Mm-hmm. He's super smart and he's got a nerdy girlfriend.
Well, almost girlfriend. She's not really a girlfriend. We're not even ever convinced if they actually consummate their marriage.
Right.
But the deal is we're gonna put some people in some salt mines and try to save their lives. So, you know, we've got a list, and of course the kid that co-discovered the asteroid gets to be on the list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this rule that if you're on the list and you show up with your legal spouse and they're not on the list, they get to go with you anyway, right?
Right.
Doesn't that mean everyone on the list shows up with somebody they just married and that person is incredibly wealthy?
I thought about that a lot. The movie decided to just say, well, people are going to loot and burn, and then there's your societal side effects. There's a sociology happening. And it bugged me just a little bit because in my head I'm thinking, well, no, there are layers and layers and layers of society that would figure out all sorts of ways to game this system. Mm-hmm. They cannot be the only ones that went, hurry up, let's get married. Right. Like everybody did that.
Well, I'm just glad they didn't freaking hang on it because that would have been a boring movie.
Watching
people trying to get away with
it. I think it was still a little bit boring. Here's what I really think this movie could have used, and this is just my own opinion and, you know, whatever. But I feel like Deep Impact would have been a much more interesting movie if we would have had the disaster in the first 10, 15 minutes instead of waiting 2 hours for it to happen. Have it like happen right then, have both chunks hit and only have one giant chunk. I don't care. I'm more interested in the story of the aftermath.
Go without two chunks.
Than I am ever. And so turn this into a post-apocalyptic movie. And I'm so into that. I'm into watching society break down and watching class break down and watching characters that you care about try to figure out what to do. Yeah, that's more interesting to me. It always has been. I know that's a totally different movie. And even Armageddon didn't do that at all. In fact,
they really didn't. But what did they – in Armageddon, aren't there a few chunks of asteroid that hit
before Paris? The movie starts with New York getting partially destroyed.
Yeah, like an early shower or something.
Yeah, Throughout the film, they just go, "Oh, look at Paris getting destroyed." Paris,
yeah, okay.
Here's Vietnam, blam. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't remember if I was thinking Armageddon or 2012 or.
Yeah. As my grandma would say, those are the toots before the poops. That's what she'd say. She would say that when like little kids would go, those are the toots before the poops.
Oh wow!
She did. That was like her encouragement to go get on the can and do your business. Oh, young man.
Like that's the early warning,
right? Early warning system when France is getting farted on.
If that was really the truth, I'd never leave the toilet.
That's true. Wow. My grandma was dead wrong, but
Ryan, maybe it's time to look at your diet.
Maybe you know. Just too many lentils in my diet.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I love the old PCs in this movie. That just brought back nostalgia for that kind of 1997 Windows 95 era looking everything, about 16 or 32 colors on everything. There wasn't a lot of depth to much of that, and I just remember
the internet is like 8 lines long.
Yep.
Like you pull up a search engine and you get 5 results.
Oh, they didn't get 5 results. It's like, when I did that.
Yeah.
That probably more than anything.
I used to use Hotbot. That's my favorite search engine.
Oh yeah, gosh.
I was Alta Vista, then I used Lycos for a while.
I was Lycos for music because it was really good at finding MP3s.
Oh, really? Nice.
I just want you to know, Hotbot was purchased by Lycos. It still exists. If you go to hotbot.com right now, you can use the search engine from the 90s.
Let me go look right now. Oh, there it is. Look at that.
The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland, so they still use Hotbot in Portland.
The results, I'm just taking a look here, aren't bad. Wow, this still exists. You know what? They have an ad on the side that says, and I'm not kidding, build your own website. Not finding what you're looking for on the web? Then build it yourself with tripod.com.
Awesome.
Wow.
Wow.
And then they have Google ads under that, which is funny too. So.
Yeah, get a Lycos domain.
Hotbot, that's hilarious. Wow, dude, that really brought me back for a minute. Is Lycos still around? Do they still do things? Let's see, Lycos. Just curious. Let's see. Yeah, there's Lycos. It's got a search.
Let's try Alta Vista.
I love Alta Vista.
Alta Vista.
Right. This is the best episode of Film Sack ever.
They're still there too. Weird.
Okay, now let's ask Jeeves.
Yeah, ask Jeeves. Oh, that's definitely still there.
Really?
That gets advertised sometimes, I think. Sometimes. I've seen it on some cable channel late
Jeeves
at night.
Jeeves retired. That's so great.
Gosh, what else? Movie spends too much time setting up. I already talked about that. I just wish they'd blow more stuff up. I like James Cromwell a lot. I think he was, but then again, another actor that was on for about 3 seconds and then out.
Right. Okay, what is Ensure? Like, isn't it it's a supplement, if you don't get enough calcium or something, yeah. Right?
Right. It's an efficient way to get nutrients for old people.
But it's not like Slim Fast. Like, it's not like a meal replacement shake.
Some older people do it. It's probably the only thing that he could buy in bulk that wouldn't raise any alarms.
Yeah, I feel like those things are almost identical, except one is meant to be a diet. But it's positioned as a diet drink, and the other one is positioned as old people don't get all the stuff they need, so here's this.
Speaking of old people and this, I just wanted to go in your face, old people. Take that, your little coffee, free coffee down at the Bojangles. Nobody or 50's right? Coming.
What? What are you talking about? What happened? I missed this.
Oh, yeah, everybody over 50 can't go unless you've been pre-approved.
Oh, right. That.
Unless you're the president.
You just lost me at the Bojangles part. Now getting your coffee at the Bojangles.
Getting your free coffee at the Bojangles. Suck it.
You had that. You had me at that. All right. What else?
Looking at the common adverse effects of Ensure, and after you eat a case of that, like Cromwell was about to do, introducing Ensure to your diet may have a negative impact on your body at first. Common adverse conditions include constipation, diarrhea, vomiting, and nausea.
Wow. Constipation and diarrhea and at the same time, or what?
Right. Yeah. and comet impacts.
Anytime.
Apparently, people should be snatching up cases of Gatorade, not Ensure if they're going to be holed up in a bunker somewhere.
Deep so fecal impaction is what the movie would be called.
He was leaving to escape the end of the earth on a boat. It's just so weird.
Well, it was before they found out where the thing was going to hit.
That's true.
They knew.
They should have followed up. They should have followed up. Why not? Have a little boat out there getting tossed. That would have been kind of cool. How'd you guys feel about the CGI water rushing into New York and stuff? It's all right for the time.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it was okay. That part of it was great.
We're better at that now, but it's all right.
Mm-hmm. Twin Towers going down. That was a little weird.
That's always a little bit weird. Actually, the TV edit removed that stuff after 2001. And I just want to say this for the record. Whenever, and this happens all the time, movies go retroactive when they go remaster or whatever, and they take out the Twin Towers. Mm-hmm. I hate that. Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason you need to do that. What are you actually saying when you do that? Is it just, oh, don't look over here. Don't ignore this thing. Is that all they're saying? Are they saying it's offensive to people?
No, if anything, they should be adding more towers.
Yeah, more.
Right.
Quadruple them. But I don't understand. I feel
stick
like
them all over the damn skyline.
I hate that old phrase, then the terrorists win phrase, but I feel like this is one of those where you're actually doing us no favors by.
On the Deep Impact episode of Film Sack, Scott Johnson said, if you digitally remove the World Trade Center, then the terrorists win. That is just the greatest thing that's ever happened.
It's actually too bad that that's too long for a bumper sticker, because I think we could sell those.
You probably could. T-shirt, maybe. Let's talk about that. We'll see what we can do. All right. What else? I got a trope here. There's a big, fresh trope right in your face right here. Why is there always a multifamily barbecue before everyone goes into space?
Always.
Apollo 13, like any kind of space thing. Right. They all get together with their families, wives, and kids, and they have a bunch of conversation about how you should be scared, but you're not.
I think this is a NASA thing, because I remember that the HBO miniseries From the Earth to the Moon, and they had barbecues all the time on that thing. And they had all the astronauts would get together at somebody's house, have a barbecue.
That's an awesome doc, by the way.
I think there's something to that.
Yeah. I actually think, and I also think this was an homage to that idea that the return of the astronaut as a hero, it was kind of played out.
Yeah. Naming the high school after us, all that kind of stuff.
Now, did we talk about how none of us have ever seen this film?
I think last week we may have.
I knew, of course, except for Brian Dunaway, he's seen everything. it's just interesting because. Now you've seen, Space Cowboys, for instance, and you have to.
No, I actually didn't see that. No.
I haven't seen Space Cowboys.
I've seen it. I like Space Cowboys a lot.
I don't know what to do with you.
I really liked what's his name. I really liked. I don't care. He was great.
Clint Eastwood.
No.
John Wayne.
No.
John Wayne. John Wayne.
Bean Fork.
Not Bean Fork. Who?
Kevin Kline.
James Garner.
No, not him. I don't care. Come on,
That's your.
I can see him.
That's your Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah, I love that.
Roy Rogers. Yeah,
he's awesome.
I got Billy Bob Thornton stuck in my head
because of Armageddon, and we've come full circle. So anyway, whatever. It's in every movie, and does it always happen? This barbecue? Maybe it does. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Red was there. That was nice to see. He wasn't trying to kill RoboCop at that point.
It's funny just to see Red walking around smiling.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that in the entirety of That 70s Show.
Hey guys, just want to thank audible.com real quick for sponsoring the podcast. Man, love me audiobooks. And it's been a couple of years, but I think a couple of years ago I may have recommended on this very show that people check out Cormac McCarthy's fantastic book, The Road. There's a movie, all right? You may have seen it. It's got your Aragorn in there. Still haven't seen the movie. I don't know what's wrong with me because I love the book so much. Maybe that's why I haven't. I'm so afraid to see what they've screwed up about it. But man, The Road is such a cool book. You know how much I love post-apocalyptic stories. This book is right up there with my favorites. Here's just a taste of it.
Everything paling away into the murk. The soft ash blowing in loose swirls over the blacktop. He studied what he could see. The segments of road among the dead trees, looking for anything of color, any movement, any trace of standing smoke.
Anyway, that gives you an idea. Great narration by Tom Stellantootle. Can't say his name. Doesn't matter. Unabridged, The Road of its entirety, right there on audible.com. That's one I recommend. But you can get any book you want absolutely for free. All you got to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack, pick a book, boom, you're in. 100% free book, and you'll love Audible. I do. Been using them for years, and I never want to go away. That address, again, is audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. We appreciate their support of the show.
It was a real That 70s Show moment. It wasn't just him, but his wardrobe and his character's demeanor, everything was That 70s Show about it. I almost wondered if That 70s Show started with this movie. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're on the set. Ashton Kutcher comes by.
Didn't we just see one with what did we just see with the other That 70s Show kid in it? Predators. That was it.
Predators, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forgot about that. So Robert Duvall, I wrote this down that we talked about earlier, he's kind of the same guy in everything. Here less well at it, but whatever, it's still sort of the same guy. I've decided he is an old Michael Cera. That's the comparison I'm gonna make.
Ooh.
Michael Cera is in everything he's in, he's the same guy. He's George Michael pretty much in everything he's in.
George Michael Bluth.
But we all like it. We all like it. We all want to see it. We all want to go see, I don't know, Scott Pilgrim Saves the World or whatever. And we want to see him again because we find him charming, interesting, and whatever. I still think Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist is one of the most Hughes-like modern teenage romantic comedy things ever made. I think it's really, really good. But he's the same freaking guy in it, and I feel like he's the next Robert Duvall that way. I mean, he won't be in the same sorts
of
things.
Well, what about Zach Galifianakis? I mean, I think that he's usually shades of the same guy. I mean, Jennifer Schmucks, he's a little bit more of a confident.
We could have this discussion forever. I mean,
let's do it.
Kevin Costner has no range whatsoever, you know? Yeah. You could just go on and on and on.
Although, you know what, though? What's the one where he's I know it's kind of his first thing and stuff, but he really does do different stuff in Silverado than he does in anything else. He's too self-serious in everything else, but at least in Silverado, he's goofy and a little nuts, and it's at least a shade different than usual. Whatever. I'm defending him because I really like Kevin Costner, and I know I'm alone.
Fields and McCoy, he played a fairly, you know, he's great, gruffer, meaner version of him, of the characters.
He deserved that Golden Globe, I think.
He did.
Really, really good in it. But you're not wrong. It's still sort of him again, you know, doing what he does. I just like what he does. And if he's got gills and wants to drag me down to the freaking floor of Denver, Colorado, I'm fine with it once a year. Let's go ahead and do it one more time. If he wants to pee on a tree and make it into water again, that's great.
Since we watched Waterworld for FilmSec, Scott has subsequently watched it like twice.
Yeah, two times.
Oh, my gosh.
I have.
Just amazing.
I love it. Love it.
What an amazing existence.
It's
you have.
Terrible movie, but it's not. It is and it isn't.
There's two visual tropes in this movie that I'm unsure if it actually exists in the real world. I just want to
why don't
you guys
why don't you ensure us?
Okay.
There you go. Double up.
All right. First of all, I just want to say Messiah was a stupid name for their stupid shit.
Yes.
Anyway,
I agree. Why would they do that?
That's totally not going to fly. Okay. So anyway, in front of the White House, do reporters stand side by side during a press conference like that?
No.
They're pretty genial though.
Oh yeah.
It's not like a scrum where they're pushing each other or something.
No, right. But stand side
that,
by side.
That close, all talking at the same time.
Depends on what they're. You see some of that sometimes, like with this the shooting a couple of months ago. Or a month and a half ago, whatever it was, the reporters were always doing stuff like that at the major press events. With the exception of maybe the presidential one. That may have been the only one where they didn't fight for questioning, but everywhere else you saw them. I think that's a fair portrayal of that stuff.
Yeah,
it was all right. By the way, you're not wrong about Messiah being a terrible name, because imagine this. Oh no, the Messiah's out of gas. Someone fuel up the Messiah. Like all the common just conversation you have to have. The Messiah failed. Well, great. Why'd we call it that then?
Yeah, great name, guys.
Yeah, way to go.
Way to go. Who brainstormed that one? Yeah. All right, so also want to know, this happens in every disaster movie. There's always a crowd of people in Japan or New York or some such place standing out in front of the jumbo screens. Is that how that really looks and really happens?
I have a feeling that on 9/11 that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. But yeah, actually, people like... They just, you can't help yourself. You know, there's a big TV out in the street. You live a couple blocks away. You just start walking that way.
Why wouldn't you just be in front of your TV at home, though? Like,
do they even show, like, anything live in Times Square that's not the ball dropping? Like, can you go up there and see a presidential address on the Jumbotron in Times Square?
Yeah, do those TVs have DJs? I don't know.
Oh, that'd be great. We're all going to go see the Breaking Bad finale in Times Square.
Let's go watch it in not surround sound.
Yeah, and who picks the channel? It's like, I'm watching the game. No, I want to see the end of Fringe. Yeah. Can't imagine how that all works, but that'd be really interesting to find out. Actually, I would genuinely like to know if there's other events there. And maybe the only other ones are when we have a big disaster.
See, it's the coolest looking scene. I just wasn't sure if it actually happens anywhere.
Well, Brian, you make a good point, because every disaster movie has this gathering.
Right.
And they all are looking up longingly at a giant screen that says sort of save us all. If I had to guess, I'm guessing most of the martial law decrees are going to be stay in your home. Don't leave home unless it's, you know, you're going to get evacuated. Then you meet up here and go on the bus. No, I don't think anyone anywhere is going to say, hey, well, let's do this. It's a huge tsunami, or it's a terrorist attack, or it's something with a bomb. Let's all gather as many people as we can in one place so that they're as big a fat a target as possible. I just can't see them doing that.
And, you know, it really cracks me up also that the fact that no one's really looting in this dystopian future, this where the meteor is about to hit us, but everybody is okay with littering because there's like litter everywhere.
And leaving, I'm not just going to leave my car. I'm going to go ahead and put the trunk or the hood open.
Right. Yeah. And everybody fleeing the city was carrying some kind of little tykes, large toy things. I'm like, just leave those.
Yeah, what do you want? Yeah. I saw a guy that was like a green machine big wheel or something.
Right.
It's like, really?
You know how hundreds of years ago kids played with sticks? And you're going to find plenty of those out in the woods.
They'll do it again. It's not a problem.
Yeah,
and why does everybody in disaster movies wait till the last second?
Yeah, that was pretty last second. The like the helicopter thing where Tay Leone decided to go to the beach with her dad instead. That was right up to the minute. It's like, really? So up till then, you got the reporters going, all right, people, this is the biggest story of the century. Bill, you got the something scoop. Yeah, Bill. Bye, bye, bye.
Another great example of how a movie has to change when everybody has an iPhone.
Right. Oh, it completely changed. This movie would be dumb. She made a comment I'll play later in a clip about the internet, and that's all I'll say about it, where clearly we had not decided how we wanted to refer to that in movies yet, even in 1998. All right. What else? Armageddon Light is what I wrote down a bunch of times. The low gravity stuff was pretty bad. I like it when a movie gets that stuff down, but I could tell Blair Underwood had wires on his butt.
Right. Yep. Yes. Yep. When he was up there at the top floating around.
Yeah. Got a big old wedgie going on. Loved it.
It's like, hey, Blair Underwood, we know you did some good work on LA Law. We know you've had some experience in lots of TV. We're going to give you like two lines and you're never going to really be on camera. So welcome to the production. Good to have you on. What else? Do you guys see this scene where Frodo had a fly on his eye and they kept the scene anyway? They didn't reshoot it.
They're sitting out by a tree.
And he's twitching, his left eye's going, because there's a fly in it.
Cut.
It's where he decides to marry Lili Sobieski.
Yes.
And he's where he holds out the two rings.
Yeah, right. he didn't decide to freaking marry her. He freaking bribed her. It's like, do you want to die or do you want to marry me?
Did she put the ring on her finger? Because for a second I thought she'd disappear. I thought she'd just go poof. that would have been great.
Would have been amazing.
That's all I can think of. You guys, anything else that jumps out? Any other tropey things?
I hope no tropes, but there's this one thing that just cracked me up, and that's that Asian lady yelling at the news, looking for anybody know what the size of the meteor was that killed the dinosaurs.
Oh,
yes.
That was every so time funny.
Every time I saw it, it just cracked me up.
And again, there was somebody on this script who really cared about journalistic process.
Yeah.
Right.
I just don't understand it. Like, why? I mean, I guess in Armageddon, they really, really cared about the scientists' process in the back rooms of NASA. So.
Yeah. There's a great reporter scene where the guy just is panicking, freaking out for the graphics people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I captured it as well, but he's freaking out. Where are the graphics?
I need the graphics.
Like, any of that matters. Like, you need a cool bumper at a time when we're all going
to
die.
Guy, like, starting to play the keyboards to figure out the dun, 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 you know, music that's going to go behind it, too.
That was great.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say.
One last thing for me. One last thing for me. I'm going with my notes. No, could y'all please, if you're going to make a space shuttle or any type of craft that's going to be in danger, please put an antenna that's retractable.
Oh, right. That stuff always gets nailed.
The first thing knocked off by a little piece of debris. Right. First thing.
Oh, okay. Well, they should have known going in, the dumb bastards. I did think some of that stuff seemed semi-realistic. Like, the ship didn't look too crazy. It didn't look too future-y and dumb. Like, the Armageddon one was pretty dumb.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This looked like you pasted together some old junk that was left in the hangar at the you know, where they keep the shuttles or something. It was all pretty believable, except for those things that shoot out and stick into the rock and slow you down or whatever. Those were dumb. But, you know, they kept that kind of cool. I liked that everybody was just wearing T-shirts in there, not some fancy space stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That stood out for some dumb reason.
No, we haven't mentioned Tasha Yar, not even one time.
That's because she was mentioned maybe
non-factor.
Once in the movie. Yeah, she's barely in it. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of her, Brian? What'd you think?
She looked angry.
Yeah.
She's like, I left Next Generation for this.
Yeah. They're not giving me any lines. I got killed by a giant plastic black bag for this. Right.
For this.
She was in, don't forget, second time on the show, she was in that
Pet Cemetery
business. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. She was fantastic in that as well.
Brian, you weren't on that episode, but you did indeed watch the film.
I did. Solidarity, brothers.
Can we just can we just tell people what you, just real quick, what you thought? We never did find out.
Oh, it was crap.
It was crap.
Well, so it's just so we're all on the same page.
Yeah, just so we're all on the same page. Yeah,
okay.
It was crap.
All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, it was just full of, if I remember correctly, cat noises all, you know, every right. There was a quota that they apparently had to reach. Yep. About 20 cats screaming cat noises.
Do you like Ed Munster in there?
I always like Ed Munster.
What's his name?
Car 54, where are you?
Yeah, that guy, he's great.
Yeah,
that is better.
Who was the husband in that? I mean, Tasha Yar was the wife. I guess it was not somebody.
It's a guy that isn't doing much now,
right?
But he's good.
Tasha Yar.
He was actually all right. Yeah,
yeah,
he's a pretty man.
Yeah.
All right.
But no.
Well,
no.
Let's get to some.
Thanks for making me watch that.
Yeah, you bet.
Right. Not going to happen with me
in
the trauma.
I didn't have to. Did you watch, Brian? Did you watch Toxic Avenger?
No, I avoided that bullet.
You need to see it.
But I've seen it before.
Oh. Okay. All right, if you've seen it before.
Because you want to hear such lines as...
Hey, 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 it's all right.
You want to hear that.
Yeah, or no ticky, no... What, like, so, a line so good that we had to hear it again.
Like today's goofed up intro? Gosh dang it. Yeah. I screwed that up.
No ticky, no...
No...
Washy.
No ticky, no washy. Oh, my gosh. This right here?
No ticky, no washy.
Oh, you missed out.
Well, thank you, Scott.
All right. Clip time. How many of these people are on ER? Just listen to their voices.
White House press office says Secretary of the Treasury Rittenhouse is resigning because his wife is sick.
He's a patient.
So who passed Rittenhouse to Hemlock?
AFL-CIO wanted Lesbian. Him off the Council of Economic Advisors for not supporting the pension bill, and the president's going to need labor next fall.
And states still fuming nurse. About the trade office screw-up at the G8.
Asian nurse.
The guy was unhappy with his readiness reduction.
Cancer patient. They're all in there.
I didn't know it was going to be a game. I would have studied.
Oh wow. That was the most offensive thing we've done in a while.
Pretty real-time stuff there.
Right.
All right. This lady is just going to say it finally.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say it. Ellie.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, my God. I'm saying it. Oh, Ellie. No. Oh, I'm just going to take my top off. Oh, I'm going to jump in the fountain. Why am I doing this? I think I'm going to just.
I rather enjoyed the mystery at the beginning where Taya Leone's character has no idea what they're talking about, but she's going along with it anyway, and she finds herself face-to-face with the president and doesn't say, what is going on?
I'm thinking it's evil president time, too, because when they brought her in that room, the FBI cut her off. It was all no due process, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, he's going to be some corrupt president with a room full of insurer, and turned out to just be nice man president. Mm-hmm. That was the last time I saw Taya Leone.
Tell me what you know about the ELE.
All right. Well, speaking of which, here is Mr. Freeman himself. Check it out right here.
We'd always thought the deadline for going public was the publication of the budget, since we've spent more money than we can hide. But the budget comes out in 2 weeks. I don't suppose I could convince you to sit on this.
I'm a man that can get you what you need.
Mm-hmm. I've been known to work on things from time to time.
He just makes me want to watch that again, honestly. Name drop of MSNBC.
Morton Inchkin, Ms. Lerner.
I'm expected back at MSNBC at 6. I think I should be there.
People know about the Manhattan Project, you know.
She drew that way out. I need to be back to MSNBC.
Are y'all 6. Recording this?
Yeah, y'all getting this on film? You have to get over it.
Jenny, I know that you hate me. I know that you have terrible things that you want to say to me. You have to get over it.
Ooh, smack!
The
mother-in-law.
First horrible thing I could say to you is you should probably have that looked at.
Yeah.
Right?
Not mother-in-law. What is she, stepmother? She's the young stepmother now. That guy was a walking trope in her
girlfriend. Yeah.
Let's see. Now, my favorite thing of the whole movie, at least that I captured, because this is Taya Leone making a sound that is weird, and I don't understand where it came from, and I don't know why she made it and how it stayed in the film, but here is Taya Leone, or Taya, whatever.
Hey.
Making a strange sound. Check it out.
Life goes on. Okay.
Hear that?
I missed that totally.
It's like someone slugged her.
That's after she drank the martini.
Like an invisible man slugged her in the gut. So here it is one more time. Listen.
Life goes on. Okay.
That's the most fast-acting alcohol.
Yeah. Exactly what I thought.
It was really, really weird.
From zero to drunk.
Here's the I need
she
graphics.
Should have asked for Taya. Errol Prie hot
stat. All right, here's the graphics guy.
And graphics, I need graphics.
That guy was desperate.
Graphics. Somebody bring me some graphics.
Let's see.
Oh, graphics.
Oh, here's something you learn about fame. This was news to me. I wasn't aware. Well, maybe it shouldn't be news, but here it is.
Famous people always get sick, Mr. Perry. That's the main reason it's good to be famous.
Wow.
Six. And apparently, according to IMDb, and I think this is BS, that was an ad-libbed line that that nobody knew he was going to say.
Disagreed.
During filming.
Totally BS.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
BS.
Yeah.
Right.
If it was, he said it. They laughed. It was awkward, and then they said, "You know what? Let's do it again, and then do it this way."
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe then.
Maybe.
Here's some video. Oh, I always like the video game references. We had one last week, which went a little bit like, I was going to find it and I can't find it. So forget it.
Dump it.
Where was that? Oh, here it is. Here, about the quarters here, right?
Teeny Boppers in there.
He's quarters. Always got that shit eating.
That's not it.
Here you go. Your mom give you quarters for video games?
Okay, so there's last week's video game reference. Here is this week's video game reference. Now I've lost it. Hold on. Where is it? Here it is, right here.
It's not a video game, son. It really isn't.
Okay, I went
a video game.
It took me to add a video game, son.
Video game.
Mr. DeVall, can you reread that? Hell no. I'm just paying the bills.
No, keep going. Keep rolling.
Keep rolling.
Maybe they went back and inserted the word video.
Oh, maybe.
Mr. DeVall, can you just say video for us?
Let's try it one more time.
Thank you.
It's not a video game, son. It really isn't.
It's not a video game.
Game.
No, it's just so weird.
I don't even know what a game is.
Here is Tia Leone being a bad reader.
Good evening. Sometime in the next hour, the Messiah mission will enter its most critical phase, the interception of Wolf Biederman and the setting of the nuclear devices that will deflect it off its collision course with Earth.
What?
Biederman.
Biederman.
Would we say the same thing if there was a movie that had if Tom Brokaw wasn't a guy, right?
Yeah.
And they had a movie character that was Tom Brokaw. Homer is flying towards Earth.
We're going to survive.
Whatever, give that guy a job.
Part of the intrigue about her getting the biggest story ever on her very first night at the desk is that a lot of other people were trying to save their own skin.
Yeah.
And she was willing to go to work, you know?
Good point.
So, I'm not saying she was the best they could do. It just kind of came together for that. Her portrayal of someone who is doing this for the first time was pathetic.
Yeah.
Really, like, a person in this job hasn't spent her whole childhood and early adulthood practicing this in front of the mirror, really?
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to disagree with you. I thought this was pretty authentic, especially after 9/11. There was one reporter.
This was before 9/11, though.
I know. And maybe we haven't seen this happen in our lifetimes of a reporter that suddenly was in the right place. It's just a field reporter and was just in the right place and suddenly gets a desk job.
Yeah.
Totally uncomfortable. I forget his name. What was his name now? I forget the guy's name.
Wolf Blitzer.
He did all the reporting on 9/11. His name.
I don't remember. Who was – you mean was it – well, which channel? Which network was it?
I think it was NBC.
Because you had your cable networks and you got your Shepard Smith doing his thing.
Right.
He was a big
never – I had never seen this guy. Actually, must have been CNN because I had never seen this guy before. And then he was like there for us for like months.
What was he? Is it because was he in New York at the time? Is that why?
Yeah.
I remember the CNBC guy showing up on NBC the next or that morning, a few hours into the whole mess, and he showed up with his suit covered in ash, and he was that little bald guy that's always on CNBC, not the guy with the exploding room with the best deals and the stock market crap, not that guy. I can't think of
Jim Cramer.
Not Jim Cramer.
Good.
Other guy.
Not Jim Cramer.
It's this other guy that does a lot of analyst stuff, but he came in there just covered head to toe, and his black suit was just covered in this white ash, and his head was all bleeding and banged up. And I remember not being quite sure how I should feel about them dragging him out there. I mean, it's his choice, obviously, but I don't know. There's something about that always really stuck in my head. I couldn't get it out of my head. Boy, 9/11 sucked, you guys. That was,
yeah, it did.
It was real bad.
To sum that up
in one
all of Deep Impact.
Yeah, here in 2012.
Just on a happier note.
Yeah.
Something I never knew that they did on newscasts. You know, when the reporter, the anchor person is talking, they have the little graphic next to them showing you a picture, whatever they're talking about.
Right.
I never realized they did that with a giant flat or a giant rear projection TV sitting behind the newscaster.
I love that thing. What was it called? I saw the name on everything.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
The Cleartron or something like that. Or right. Isn't that
Visutron. That's what not Tom Brokaw, the Nightline guy used to use with the curly hair.
Ted
Koppel used to use one of those.
Did he really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think what they did with them to make them so they didn't look bad or have, you know, lines going through them because the refresh rates are wrong, I think they synced them with the refresh rate of whatever cameras were or something. Huh. I remember hearing about this. Somebody, I know what it was. Oh, yeah, it was Eileen Rivera. She told me this about that, and it was some conversation on AppSlappy. But it was, anyway, the bottom line of it or the point of it was they used to do that because anything else looked like crap. Now they can make it look good digitally.
Right.
And do whatever. But.
Sure. You know how I remember Ted Koppel's name?
Mm.
There was a Dana Carvey thing where he went, "I'm Ted Koppel," like the Nightline music.
I don't remember.
And now
that.
I can't unhear that. It's like, oh, Nightline.
Who I picture when you say Ted Koppel's, I picture Joe Piscopo because he used to play him on those old,
right,
yep, those old yep. episodes. Like who shot Buckwheat or maybe whatever
that's,
it was.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Maybe it was Piscopo doing, "I'm Ted Koppel.
Piscopo's too
My head looks like a waffle," or something like that.
All right, let's do a mask montage. I know that sounds strange, but there's this part where all the spacemen are running on the asteroid to get back to the ship, and things are falling apart, and big gas vents are opening up and blowing people into the sky and stuff, and they make this back-and-forth mask montage that's kind of creepy, so I captured it. Here it is. Right. Kind of went on for a while.
What kind of movie are we watching?
It sounds like Vayner trying to scrub the faraway places, but whatever.
Right. They just did it for a few minutes, but it was really weird scene. It was really creepy. It really was. Mm-hmm. Aaron Brown. That was the guy's name.
Aaron Brown. Wait. Was who?
Was the reporter for CNN during that time. I had never seen him before. And if you ever watched any of his first couple of things, he was just totally uncomfortable.
Does he still do stuff? He's still a guy that get on camera and
he's the only person. The only thing he has listed for himself is recognized for his coverage of the September 11th attacks.
Weird. All right.
His first day on air at CNN.
Great. Now there are two of them.
It is my unhappy duty to report to you that the Messiah has failed. This computer enhanced radar image from Houston shows how the detonation succeeded. However, did not destroy the comet. There are now two pieces, one 6 miles wide, the other a mile and a half. Both are still on the path towards Earth.
That must have been a rough moment there for the president.
Right. And now more science.
We hit it again, and now we have four pieces. I think we probably should just stop.
We should stop. Everybody to the hills.
Stop shooting at it. Bring Robert Duvall home. All right, this is the part you guys have to listen really carefully to, because it's Tia Leone in the background talking about checking your internets. Okay, you got to listen real close, because it's hard to hear, but it bugged the hell out of me. So here it is.
Purified water are now available on the internet.
Oh, that's what it was. Verify your water availability now available on your internet.
Your internet. Awesome.
Your internet.
You know, that's what we thought back then.
I know, but still, it's annoying. Here's a scene with Frodo.
Where were you today? I've been looking all over for you. Why weren't you at school?
My dad said I didn't have to go.
Oh, Sam.
Right.
Kiss me, Sam. Oh, I don't mean to, Mr. Frodo. All right. All right, this is just a shorty,
doesn't Lily Sobieski look like a young Helen Hunt?
Yeah, big time.
Totally.
Big time.
Very much.
I think she's cute.
Yeah.
I like her. Except she's really annoying here in a second on a clip. I'll give you in a second. Morgan Freeman telling us what happened again.
Exactly. Our missiles have failed.
Our missiles have failed.
Our missiles have failed.
What?
Our missiles have failed.
Okay, got it.
You could have strung together all of his letdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
His job is to punctuate the film over and over and over with what's gone wrong.
Bad news.
And now here's the bad news. Now here's what's going to happen.
Yep.
In fact, you could actually have an hour-long film that's just him and didn't work. So here's what's going
to
happen now.
It is my sad duty to inform you that we've now run out of milk and you're going to be eating your Lucky Charms.
They'll keep him around for the Missouri Mountains time where he's got to let everybody. Oh, shoot, we're out of ham. I'm not telling him this time. You tell him.
Looks like we've depleted the Earth's insured supply.
I wonder how much. I mean, how would people really survive in the soft shale of Missouri Mountains?
Missouri.
I don't think I'd want to go in there. I think I'd take it in the face. I'd rather take it on the nose than go in there. I really do. I think if that was...
Hang out on the beach with Tia Leone and your dad? Or,
sure.
Go to the mountains.
Sure, why not? All right, here's Lily Sobieski acting like a freak. And I think she made me laugh, and I don't think I was supposed to. But here's a point where she's trying to leave her parents.
What? No, 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 no.
Yes, no arguments.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no.
She was mostly knowing because they were trying to give her the stupid baby. It's like, I just got married. I don't need this kind of picture.
That's you're no, right. No, that's what
we decided. We're not going to have kids for a while. Yeah. I know.
That ruined my life.
That is when she started freaking out. Yep. Let me just listen to that.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Yes, no arguments.
No, 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 no.
Oh gosh.
You guys should probably. We're just going up that hill right there. If you guys start walking now, you'll probably be up there in time.
You'll be fine. All right, let's let Fletcher have a moment here.
Fish. Why the hell do they call you Fish?
What's that from? Somebody was named Fish.
What's in this movie? Yeah, Jamal's character was named Fish.
Oh, nickname.
Because his real name was Spurgeon, and then Sturgeon, yeah. And then a short trip to Fish.
Sturgeon? Yeah. Sturgeon? Oh, right. Okay, I got it. Spurgeon is not a fish, however.
Spurgeon Salmon Face. Why do they call you Fish? No idea.
Never heard it before.
Cod Plankton. Nice to meet you.
Cod Plankton.
I haven't told you.
That's my anchorman name.
That's pretty good.
Cod Plankton.
That's pretty good.
I love it.
I haven't told you about the trope that made me sad.
Oh, wait. Let me play it. Can I do a sad trope? Let's see. Here we go. Here you go.
What'd you do to my dog, you asshole?
That's a sad one.
They give you, the president says there's going to be a 500 foot tall wave of water. That's 50 stories. That's an incredible wave of water. And they do a pretty good job of depicting the actual wave, especially as daughter and dad are standing on the beach facing their, insta-death.
Yeah.
But then I thought I was going to get to see the landscape after that sort of wave. Mm-hmm. And instead I saw the landscape after a hard rain. And it just made me sad because that, and it's a trope in every film that nobody ever goes and asks a physicist, what would really happen here? Can we depict what would we depict? And in this case, you would depict a complete flattening of everything. Plants, everything is just down to the dirt.
Yeah,
and of course, in this movie, they want to show human works have been damaged, right? But they would actually be crushed. Yeah. There wouldn't be bits of the Statue of Liberty except little tiny grainy bits.
Do we have a does this movie help inform any of our opinions on each of our favorite natural disaster movies? Or not natural disaster, but just disaster movies. Because here's where I land. It's still at number one for me, and I know I get a lot of heat for this, but it's still got to be Day After Tomorrow for me. Or not Day After Tomorrow. Mm. Yeah, Day After
Tomorrow. That's a good one. I'm going to say that's a really good one. Yeah,
I like that one a lot. That's Dennis Quaid and
Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Gyllenhaal, whatever you say there.
I thought that was actually one of my favorites as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie. I got a weak spot for Dante's Peak, because they have the whole row 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 your boat in the acid water, and Grandma jumps out of the boat and drags everybody. That's pretty tight scene.
I don't think I've seen Dante's Peak. I've seen Volcano.
You've seen Volcano. You've seen Dante's Peak.
Well, one has James Bond, and the other one has I Don't Care in it.
Right.
And the other lesbian.
I'm going to stretch your definition here. I could watch Twister anytime.
Oh, that's not stretching. That's a good one. Shoot.
Nothing scarier than the nighttime tornado.
That's pretty
good. That is scary.
By the way, for those playing at home, Speed does not count as a disaster movie. All right?
it's a disaster of a movie.
Yeah. That's it. So, Ibbot, where do you...
Wow.
Don't say 2012. No one's allowed.
I'm not going to say 2012.
All right.
That's good. I'm having a hard time thinking something I enjoy more than, if I see Armageddon on HBO, I'm flipping through channels, I'll usually leave it on. But I'm looking through a list here of other ones. It's Titanic is not a disaster film. Cloverfield.
It sounded like you're reading a chat room or something.
Yes. Cloverfield fits this category.
Then I think I might enjoy Cloverfield a little bit more.
Really? I still haven't seen Cloverfield.
Really? Yeah.
It's a film with zero character development. So
right.
It's got that hot girl from True Blood and Party Down in it.
Yes, it does. I can't remember her name, but
she's
it does.
So attractive.
After Tomorrow, Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno.
Yeah.
The old ones, but then you got Dante's Peak 2012. Yeah, I think Armageddon. I think Armageddon.
That's
just
because
of the cast.
I don't know. What about the Inner Earth disaster movies? I kind of liked what was the one?
The one we did.
The core. I kind of actually like the core.
I think the core is fun, but I wouldn't call it. Yeah, I wouldn't put it at my top.
Fantastic.
I'm trying to think what else there is. I mean, all the Noah Emmerich stuff.
This wouldn't I mean, because really it's, there's no real disaster in the abyss. It's all pretty localized to just that group of people. But then you do get the big savior thing at the very end with the giant wave that could be a disaster, but isn't.
The Messiah wave.
Messiah
wave. Mm-hmm.
Here it comes.
How about the boat one, the Perfect Storm one? Is that any good?
It's a good movie.
It's not really a disaster movie, though.
Localized. Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
But it was only for the people on the boat.
Well, well, there's lots of people out on the ocean getting massacred by this storm.
Yeah, but did he really depict that?
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, then.
Awesome. That's a great choice.
All the scrimping boat scrimps.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a disaster for the Princess Bride.
Yeah, that's true.
The listing that they have here, they lump in things like Twister 2012 tornado with Waterworld, which, you know, you've got your pre-disaster and then your post-disaster.
Those don't count. Waterworld's not a disaster movie.
No, would Outbreak be a disaster movie?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Epidemics like that?
Sure.
What was the one that was just a couple years ago that I kind of like? Quarantine?
Quarantine. Quarantine was the one where the zombies in the building and she got trapped in there.
The Mist.
The Mist?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody dies in that movie.
No, that's fair game. And I think The Mist is awesome. I've said that before and I'll stand by it. I just don't know if I'm putting that up against Day After Tomorrow.
There's not a lot of physical destruction.
But anytime a bunch of people are hiding in a grocery store and trying to survive disaster, it's a disaster movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whenever one of them's a religious zealot and makes everyone in serious danger because she's that way, you know you're watching a Stephen King joint.
Well, how about The Happening? How about that?
Oh, The Happening. Great, that's got the great plants. Disaster. Those plants. I still haven't seen The Happening.
How about Independence Day?
Independence Day.
I was actually getting The Happening confused with The Mist.
Oh, really? Don't do that. Don't do that. Ever.
Yeah, no.
I have not seen The Happening, but I know enough about it to know that I'd like
seen
to steer clear of it.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was directing. He's directing that new post-apocalyptic Will Smith movie with his kid. After Earth.
I am also a legend.
Yeah. That's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, and what's funny is they don't.
Legend Junior.
They don't ever. That's Lil.
I am Lil Legend.
Lil Legend. They don't ever show his name associated with it. I think that's an interesting shift. Nobody's touting, from the director of Signs and all this. They don't do that anymore with him.
Wow.
Yeah. No. From the director of Last Airbender.
Yeah, that wouldn't work well. I'm so disappointed. That wasn't good.
From the director of The Lady in the Water.
I didn't see that one either. I've told you guys, I'm M. Night Shyamalan free since Signs. I haven't seen anything since then.
You should see Lady in the Water.
Right. You should. It's a good movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Everyone hated it. It was like pan.
We'll watch it on FilmSack. We'll get funny quotes out of it.
Randy liked it. Ibit, do you like it?
I did not like it.
Did not like it. Okay.
All right. I'll still be your friend.
I like The Village more than that, if that's...
Oh, I hate The Village.
Wow. Dang.
As much as you hate Minority Report? Come on now.
That's close.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm trying to see what The Village is. The Village on Rotten Tomatoes is taking too long, so I'm not going to look at it. All right. Let's get to the FilmSack Awards. What? Did you have something?
I think we just all agreed that among disaster films, we like Armageddon and Twister and all sorts of other things.
Yes.
We agree on that.
We agree on all sorts of
other things. We like disaster
and nobody,
movies.
And nobody did mention Deep Impact. Let's move on.
Yay! That's you make a good point.
Brian makes a point.
Nice. All right, here's our award time. And that means we have awards to give out on the red carpet for this here disaster film, that being Deep Impact. Here we go. Winner of the Let's Take Forever for Everything to Happen in a Disaster Movie Award goes to this movie. The Creepiest Dad Award, I think, goes to What's-Her-Name's Dad before they made up. You couldn't understand him. You could barely hear him.
Oh, it was awful.
Terrible, terrible acting job or whatever that was. Our Obi-Wan Award, reintroducing the Obi-Wan Kenobi Awards, goes to President Freeman, who clearly had, he had the Force.
Right.
Yeah. When the Tusken Raiders came, he put his arms in the air and went, ooh, like that. Our Star Trek connections are like this. There's actually quite a few. Tucker Smallwood playing Ian Brodsky. In Enterprise, he played a dude. On Voyager, he played a dude. Same with Mark Moses in both those episodes or both those series. The big ones though are James Horner, conductor, did the music. He also wrote the music for Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan and Star Trek III: The Search for Spock. Was also an extra in Battle Stations in the Star Trek II movie. Let's see, Denise Crosby played Vicky Hotchner, You didn't even know her full name until I just told you. She was Tasha Yar, of course. And finally, James Cromwell, who played Alan Rittenhouse. He was in First Contact, played Zefram Cochran on Enterprise. He played an uncredited
okay, so the whole
cameo
movie.
Role.
All of Deep Impact.
All of everything.
That's, okay.
Everybody everywhere. Right.
Well, we need to say
home soundtrack grade for this movie. I'm going to give it LNBS for the late 90s lame-o, but serviceable. I'll give it that. It's not the best Horner thing wow. I've ever heard. I know I'm starting to get into some serious acronyms.
I've had a nickel for every time you've used that one.
You would have 5 cents. And let's see. That's it. How about we do a Twitter post? That's 140 characters or less. You guys sum up what you think of the film. Let's start with Randy Jordan.
Deep Impact. I liked the porn version better. It was called Impact Deep. And unlike the original, it wasn't the audience who got screwed.
Ooh, I see what you have done there. Ooh. Also, Mr. Brian Dunaway.
Deep Impact, like Armageddon, but with more character development and just as depressing. Would someone please work on better drill technology? Just, I need better drill technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the drilling stuff is always the weak spot, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then finally.
We can land on a meteor, but we can't freaking drill it.
Yep. Get your priorities straight, everybody. Brian Ibbett.
Deep Impact. Well, the Twitter server was down, so I actually put my Twitter post on a 3.5-inch floppy disk and gave it to my astronomer friend to didn't get it?
Oh,
you didn't
no,
get it?
Oh,
I put him on that same street that the eastbound and down guy was smoking a cigarette.
Drinking Jolt Cola.
Nicely done. Well, here's what I learned while you made a movie that was not as fun as Armageddon. When you're all on a ship full of Americans, make sure you get the Russian to do the countdown. So no one can understand it.
Bleem, flurg.
Bleem, flurg.
Night,
Buchacha. Like, dude, we need to know when we get to one, all right?
Yeah, what's all those funky characters on the keyboards that they were all using?
That's like getting the Klingon to do.
The national symbol of Boron. And
I also learned I wasn't supposed to laugh when Jon Favreau got launched into space, but I did.
Oh, yeah.
This is for Daredevil.
Very. Oh, I forgot he did Daredevil. Ah, that's right. I forgot he directed Daredevil. I know he did Iron Man. Iron Men. In Deep Impact Future, the world goes crazy and President Driving Miss Daisy just sits in his chair and rubs his eyes. And that's what I learned.
We're all screwed.
An email from a listener today. Got one from, Justin. It says, Dear Team Gibbet and Team Deluxe Away. I am, by the way, Deluxe and Away are two words, and they're both capitalized, so Deluxe Away is your team.
Deluxe Away.
I am a long...
that'll get you... just three washings will get out all your deluxe.
That's right.
Right.
Yep. It'll make it go away. I am a longtime listener and love a lover of your saccharine of good films, or bad, or likewise, or otherwise, a.k.a. what the hell did I just watch? I figured that since others have thrown in their suggestions for films, I would do it as well. I have three films that I'm hoping that you'll sack. The first is called Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man, starring Mickey Rourke and Don Johnson. That sounds great.
That movie.
That sounds great.
God.
Have you seen it? I've not seen it.
I have seen the cover box many times.
Okay.
Oh, no. What's the one? Maybe I'm thinking a different one. There's a different one with Mickey Rourke where his face is all messed up.
Tango and Hooch.
Yeah, that's every movie. Okay. But,
like where his face is really messed up. Like plastic surgery. Well, let me rephrase that again.
There's no going back.
Mickey Rourke is truly one of a kind in that regard. Like, it's really hard to name anybody who's got Mickey Rourke is like he's spent his whole life trying to look like Seal.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ouch.
It goes on to say the second movie is Delta Farce with Bill Engvall, Lisa Lampanelli, Larry the Cable Guy, Danny Trejo. I don't know if that's one we'd cover. I'd rather see Delta Force, to be honest.
Yeah. They land in Mexico and think they're in the Middle East. I've actually seen it.
Is it funny?
No, it's not funny.
Okay. It sounds dumb to me.
It was horrible.
And I don't like Lisa Lampanelli. I can't watch Lisa Lampanelli do anything. I have a really hard time.
I didn't know she was ever in a movie.
Yeah.
Neither. Oh, Johnny Hansen is what I'm thinking.
I don't think she's funny. She gets up on stage and goes, "Hey, everybody, dirty vagina."
We need to watch Crybaby with Johnny Depp. Do you remember that?
Yep. I do. I never saw it, but I remember it being a thing, and also in the video store, sitting in some section.
That guy with a little
mustache. John Waters film,
John
right?
John Waters, yeah.
Oh, right, right. He was in. He was also in Hairspray with him, right? Wasn't that Johnny Depp? Yeah.
Yes.
The first Hairspray, not the
John Travolta.
Not Travolta remake. Living out his dream one. Not that one. Let's see.
Is he?
Who, Travolta or Depp?
No, Depp.
Depp
I'm trying to remember.
Totally in the first one. I'm almost 100% sure. I went and saw that in the theater, of all things. Don't ask me how or what. I don't know what happened there.
Of all places to see that.
I know.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Me and my friend Bill Evans hanging out in the movie theater. The third and final one is Witness Protection with Larry the Cable Guy, Jenny McCarthy.
Witless Protection.
Yeah. Oh, Witless Protection. Sorry. He thinks all three movies are sackable. Hope you agree. I'm going to say I think the first one is, but maybe the other two
aren't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, these really the crazy farce, silly slapstick comedies are
scary movies.
Really hard to sack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hard sack.
Because you can't make fun of stuff that is trying to be funny
and be funny.
And failing. When it fails, when it's trying to be funny and it's failing, how do you make fun of that?
Also, if you have a hard sack, do get that looked at.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Don't wait. Fletcher had this to say as well.
2 weeks? There's no such thing as 2 weeks in the news business.
Yeah. Add a little bit of emphasis on some things there.
Excuse
me. Space rock.
Yeah, there's another weird one. And then this one.
Hey, Leo, you're going to have more sex than anyone in our class.
Which is just especially more than probably would be more than anyone in that
yeah,
class.
Yeah, probably. Double Dragon next week, everyone.
All Ooh, right.
Not just one. But two
dragons. Double Dragons, based on the early 80s video game. And we are so ready to cover this film. It's Double Dragon, coming soon next week on Film Sack. So stay tuned for that. The ever-promised ID4 commentary track shortly after that. All right? We promise. It's really going to happen. We didn't skip it. We're going
to
do it.
Hey, it's not like we made you watch it.
No.
You're going to wait to watch it to get our thing. So
exactly
you
right.
You haven't not watched it for nothing.
It's the only way I'd watch it.
You haven't not watched it
for
nothing.
You haven't not watched it for nothing.
Thank you, Brian Evans.
That's pretty good.
Other amazing films on our list coming up later in the spring. We've got Point Blank.
Yeah.
Barbarella. Scott Johnson is very excited about that.
Did we not already watch that?
Nope.
You're thinking of Cherry 2000.
Yep. Broken Arrow. We're gonna watch Footloose at some point. We're scoping out Hercules. Yes, that Hercules.
Are we watching the new Footloose or the old Footloose?
The old Footloose. Old.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're not watching that new garbage.
Heaven help the man who finds his dream.
It's the one that was filmed right here in beautiful downtown Lehigh, Utah. That's the one we're going to see.
Thanks, Scott.
You betcha. So looking forward to all of those. I can tell you the only thing I remember about Broken Arrow, which I saw in the movie theater, I remember the song or the soundtrack had a refrain that sounded like this, and it reminded me of Twin Peaks, but it went
I remember that.
It sounds just like the Twin Peaks theme but arranged in a weird way, so that'll come soon. In the meantime, please visit us on the Webernets. That's the home on your internet is where you'll get that.
on your internet.
Yeah, on your internet. You can get that at filmsack.com. You can also email us, send us emails, your suggestions for films, your thoughts on the stuff we've talked about on the show at filmsack@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter @filmsack. And please leave us a review on iTunes. We would really appreciate it. More great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Two objects.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Hey, if you're looking for a way to help the Frog Pants Network, specifically to help Film Sack, it's real easy to do, and it's cheap, as low as $2 a month. Just go to frogpants.com/subscribe and help us out. Thanks.